Thank you for catching that. Okay. All right, we are on question number 10 of lesson number 4. And the question is, how many angels are there? And Revelation 5, verse 11 says, "And they beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them..." Hold on, let me switch glasses here. There we go. "And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands." Now, I don't know if you remember last week, with the cloud that we were talking about, or even last night, if you remember, last night's study was, oh, that's the kind of stuff I love, you know, talking about what's going to happen when the eastern sky splits, kind of thing. And pretty intense. All the way she describes it, and of course the seventh plague and all that, and then you got the cloud coming and all that. It's an amazing thing to behold. But we were talking about the cloud last night, that little cloud that appears about the size of a man's hand, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, if you just add up 10,000 times 10,000, you'll get to 100 million angels. That's what the cloud's actually made out of, by the way. Of course, we all know that. But just for the sake of the young that may not know. And but then the passage also says that there are thousands of thousands on top of that number. So, yes, it's going to look like a cloud when the Lord approaches the earth at first. And that many white-robed angels is bound to be rather an amazing sight, but nothing compared to he who sits on the throne that they are surrounding. So as Christians, I'm sure many of us contemplate this, whether it's in midday prayer or whether you're drifting off to sleep and you think of it. You know, our the door opening for our way home, kind of a thing. You know, it's just something to behold, and I just can't wait. And sure, it's going to be a little, you know, bittersweet, if you will, if you have many loved ones that aren't embracing the truth as we are. And we want to talk about that. But I guess the tears will be wiped from our eyes anyway, at the end of the 1,000 years. So, okay, question 11. What effect can the sight of one angel have upon humans? This is one angel. Now, of course, we know there's more than 100 million of them that are going to be surrounding our Savior. But I would also like to, let me just read Matthew 28, verses 2 to 4. Thanks again, brother. Where it says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." Now, these are big, muscle-bound Roman soldiers that were specifically given the task to guard that tomb to prevent this new sect called, which would be later called the Christians in Antioch, not to roll that stone open and steal the body and say, "Hey, look, he resurrected," you know, and fake it. So they were making a point to have very strong security there. So these guys fainted at the sight of this angel. But I would also like to share Revelation 19:10, because it says, "And I fell at his feet, to worship." Now, this is John, of course, the apostle, the one whom Jesus loved. Well, he loved all of them, of course, but this is the one that our Lord made it a point to point him out. So it says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." You know, this is why it is so important to follow Jesus' suggestion to not go there when Antichrist stands on earth imitating Jesus Christ. And the people in the world are getting set up for this, by the way. The wicked, you know, the blind, the ones that don't read the Bibles, and even Christians that allow their false pastors to, you know, con them into believing what they want them to believe. And the reason I say they're getting set up for this, you get the guy like in Russia, and then the guy in Miami, and or even guys like Jim Jones and stuff like that, where they claim to be Jesus Christ, right? And these guys live and then die and then live and then die, and you know, they don't do any miracles or anything like that. And so left and right, left and right, left and right, people are saying this is all a bunch of baloney, you know. Then all of a sudden Satan stands on earth, and he'll stand looking like Jesus does in Revelation when the world's ending. And the majority of the people are probably no doubt remembering all these false Jesuses and how they were nothing and they were just guys, and you know, they died and they didn't have any special powers, but they get the presence of this one, and it's like, whoa, you know, they can't handle it. So again, this is why it's so important to follow Jesus' suggestion to not go there when the Antichrist stands on the earth imitating Jesus Christ. We see in Matthew 28 that the wicked, you know, the Roman soldiers, they fell as dead men. And a strong Christian, John, I mean, he's a strong Christian. He's getting a revelation directly at this point. He's in vision. He's so strong as a, you know, okay? So this apostle fell in worship at the feet of an angel. I mean, mankind simply cannot handle the presence of angels. It's obvious. And we know by Revelation 19 that the good angels don't allow men to worship them. You know, because they declare that they are fellow servants. I mean, they worship God just like we worship God. So, and yeah, amen, and Daniel too. But Satan is a fallen angel. I mean, he's an angel, but he's fallen. When Jesus declared, don't go there in Matthew 24, 26, he meant it because he knows we will collapse and worship Satan as he desires. But he will not tell us to stop like the good angel does in Revelation 19. The study also shares some information from Revelation that illustrated how powerful these angels really are. And of course, these are the notes that are underneath. It says, Revelation 6, verses 14 to 17, it says, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And now think about that. You know, because this one angel that came that caused that great earthquake that caused the stone to roll so that our Lord can step out. There's an awful lot of them headed towards the planet now. So, I mean, like it says here, every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks and in the mountains. And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And again, like last night, I'd like to share that this is speaking of two separate entities in the same verse. You know. And we know that the Father sits on the throne, and his Son, our Lord and Savior, sits at the right hand of the Father. And so you got, and then of course that is the Lamb. Anyway, he finishes up by saying, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And the reason I mentioned about the two different entities is because there's a movement going on in the Seventh-day Adventist, ex-Seventh-day Adventist separated movement, to proclaim only one God. And there's a reason they're doing this. If you go to my Bible Truth section of the site in the False Doctrine area, I think it's called False Doctrine area. Anyway, it's in the Bible Truth section. I have a page called Why They Preach One God. And there's a reason for it. Just to give it a quick summary, it's more or less just the Trinity, the Catholic Church, their Trinity preaches one God. You know, they say, well, no, it says three. No, well, look at their definition of Trinity. It's three separate, it's three entities in one. It's not three separate entities. It's three in one. And they say one God, they constantly, and all their doctrines always one. And then there's also the Muslims that say there's one God. The Zoroastrians say there's one God. The Buddhists say there's one God. The Satanists says there's one God. I mean, you know. And then, of course, if you ever were into the occult, like I was before you, I was a Christian, I know that in the Book of Magic and other areas and I never really got into magic. I just knew a guy that did, and I actually looked in the book, and there's other areas in some of the strange books that the occult writers or readers have read where they call Satan the One. And so, anyway, Revelation... And that's why they preach one God. Satan's going to come, and he can't emulate or imitate the actual second coming. He can only know, fake it and act like he's Jesus. So anyway, Revelation 16, verses 18 to 20 says, "And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the cities of the nations fell, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent." And again, this is what we were sharing last night. Unbelievable the way it's going to look when that eastern sky splits. And but we know, even though the mountains shake like reason and wind, we will not fear, because our God is with us. And we'll actually be, you know, raising off the planet as all this stuff's going down. So it's an amazing, it will be an amazing sight to behold. And the thing that gets me the most, and it's the hardest, like when we were reading it last night, was the part where, you know, whether you're in a jail cell, stepping out, of course, because the Lord's allowing you to step out at this point, or you're in the mountains hiding, or in a cave, or in a forest, the people in the area where you're at found out where you're at. And it's very easy to do that with today's technology. So this is one of the reasons that technology is getting the way it is, with the drones and the crime cameras on every street corner and stuff like that. There's a reason they're doing it. And some people say it's for security. He says, yeah, well, that's what they do it for, of course, is to help prevent crime and whatnot. But that's what the devil does, to make sure that the tools are in place so that when he does what he wants to do, he can track us down. And so he gets his people that are his pawns to go forth and cause more crime, that forces us to put more cameras. You know, it's a vicious, wicked ball of circumstance. But the way it was, the thing that got me the most about it was when they're coming towards us with all their weapons, everything from guns to pitchforks, whatever they can get their hands on to kill us, right? Because the death sentence has been put forth that we have to die because we are the reason for all the calamities, they're saying. Even though we don't have the boils and we don't drink bloody water, they can't put two and two together because they're deceived and they're coming to attack us and kill us. And because it's legal now to kill us, just like it was in the book of Esther. If you want to see what it's going to be like when it gets close to the end, just read Esther. And all of a sudden the sky starts to roll back like a scroll, as we see here. And there's a darkness that hits the earth that man's never seen before. And then all of a sudden there's rainbows of light above every child of God, real child of God. And then their weapons fall at their side. The people that want to kill us, they're shuddering in fear. Their knees are knocking together. It's amazing how frightening it's going to be for them. And some of them will be our loved ones. You know, whether it's your brother, your sister, your kid, your spouse, whatever. Cousins, nephews, whatever. Some of the people in that crowd will be, I mean, if you don't believe that your own loved ones would turn you in, do a little research on what happened with the brown shirts in Hitler's day, where they turned in their own parents. It's easy enough to, I mean, look at today. I mean, kids, people kill their own children with abortion, and kids are killing their parents now too. It's not far-fetched. You have family feuds that all of a sudden get so angry where the kids actually hate each other sometimes. So it's not far-fetched. But then all of a sudden, even though we don't hate them like that, let's say we're part of the Gideon band, and they're coming towards us and we love them because they're our loved ones, and all of a sudden we see the fear in their eyes, but that's neither here nor there, because we're looking up at our Savior saying, this is our God, he will save us. And they cry out to the rocks, like it just says, you know, the heights. And by the way, if you look at one of my videos, John14:29.org, all my videos are there. You don't have to go part one, part two, part three. They're all, you know, on John14:29.org. There's one there that says they hid themselves. You might want to check that out, because they are right now selling underground bunkers for people. It's $50,000 a space, or $50,000 a bed if you get into a community bunker, but you can actually put one bunker in your own backyard if you want. And they're advertising it, and I put the actual article, starts the video with it, they're advertising it as a way to ride out the apocalypse. So they are doing exactly what the prophecy said. They're going to go into the rocks and the caves and underground and whatever. Anyway, question number 12. We finished all the little notes there. Yeah, the nations fell. Okay, let me scroll up. Question number 12. What did Jesus say to do when they tell you that he is coming secretly. And of course, Matthew 24, verses 26 to 27, I'd like to share, not just 26. It says, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, the reason I shared verse 27 as well, because Jesus is explaining why we shouldn't believe those that say he is in the desert or in the secret chambers or in the rooms, as we call today. When he returns, no one will have to tell you to come and see him in the desert or come and see him in some secret room, because as is apparent with lightning and how bright it is, even if it's sunny outside and you happen to be on the edge of a storm and the clouds haven't reached your area yet and lightning comes out of the edge of one of those clouds, I don't care how sunny it is, you're going to see a flash of light. And so as apparent as lightning is and how bright it is, everyone can see it without anyone having to point it out. We also see in Revelation 1 verse 7, it says that when he comes in the clouds, every eye shall see him on earth. And it's not going to be like they tried to do back in the Y2K crisis in 1999 on December 31st. The Mount of Olives was they had these posts. I think they were 15, 20 feet high. And there was a camera on each post pointing upward. And it was a circle on the Mount of Olives. They were going to videotape the second coming. And so it's not every camera eye shall see him. It's every eye shall see him. And I also noticed is why we see two different methods of people to be deceived. It looks to me as if Jesus is showing how the common man and the political leaders will be tempted. The common man can easily be lured into the desert to see Antichrist. Okay, and the reason I say there's two classes of people because Jesus said some are going to say I'm in the desert and some are going to say I'm in the secret chambers. So there's two classes of people here as far as I'm concerned. And so the common man can either be lured into the desert. As a matter of, in fact, I got a recording on the site where Benny Hinn is actually saying that right now, that Jesus is appearing. He actually says it, it's recorded, it's on the site, where Jesus is appearing in the deserts right now. And we also know about the guy in Miami and Russia and all the other places that they say that they're Jesus Christ on earth, and people go to meet them. But the political leaders are more apt to be invited to the secret meetings in palaces and state buildings. So the common man has his way to be lured, as does the leader. And we know all about the leaders. If you ever saw that one video on YouTube where the guy was killed for his testimony about how he talks about the rock industry, the rock music industry, and how political leaders are involved in it as well. There's another video out there someplace, I can't remember the actual name of it, where another man who was also died strangely after sharing these facts about how political leaders actually have open-eyed manifestations of Satan. Yeah, I mean, look at Hillary Clinton walking around on the balcony of the White House talking to, who was it, Eleanor Roosevelt? She used to actually insist that she was literally talking to Eleanor Roosevelt's spirit. Yeah, John Todd, that's the guy that was the rock music guy. Yeah, you'll want to look him up on YouTube. But the way he talks about it and the way the other guy talks about it, these are actual open-eyed manifestations. And so these secret chambers, I have no doubt that guys like Obama or guys like Clinton or even the Pope himself have already had meetings with demons, and these demons have actually appeared to be very important people in the past or even Jesus himself to act like they were, whatever. I mean, it's obvious that this has already happened on a regular basis now, so if it's happening out there in the open for the common man to be able to go into the desert or to go into Miami, if you will, just go see that one guy, then you know. If it's happening to the common man, you know it's been happening to the leaders for many years. They always get hit first. So the notes on the study go on to quote from the book of Psalms. Psalm 50, verses 3 to 5. It says, our God shall come and shall not keep silence. Okay, there, boom, right there. My page on the website about the secret rapture, that one verse alone says, no, it ain't going to be secret. But anyway. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. In other words, first touching on the sacrifice thing, we all know about sacrifice. If you're a Christian, like for example, I put a post on the website the other day about how Facebook, for example, has put the, let's see, there's these two posts on two different types of posts that were, or pages that were on Facebook. One of them was, well, both of them were pulled, but then one of them was put back on. The one that was put back on was a young girl that was showing how to use over-the-counter prescription, not over-the-counter drugs, and like take two or three every 3 hours or something like that to force a miscarriage, to actually cause your baby to be aborted. You can do it at home. And she's showing them how to do it, right? They pulled it, and then they put it back on after she complained. But then there was this other Christian man who put up a post about an abortion doctor and showed how abortion is actually done. They pulled that one, which means they've made an open stand. Now, here's where the sacrifice thing comes in. If you're a Christian, can you yoke unequally? No. And so with some Christians, it's going to be a difficult test for them to pass, but hopefully they pass it. But I can't see being a Christian and being on Facebook at the same time. Or I can't see being a Christian and, you know, drinking alcohol at the same time. I can't see being a Christian and watching porn or R-rated or even any movies, as a matter of fact, any G-rated movies, because they're fiction. And fiction is lies. Okay? Now, you still may be able to make it to heaven with certain things, but you're going to have to die to get there. Because the Lord winks at your times of ignorance just like he does ours. And, but why not be part of the Gideon band? I say, you know, why not make it there and glorify him while getting there? Because, the, you know, if you're already weak enough to do the things you shouldn't do, the devil has a foothold. And if you're not very careful, you may not make it to heaven. And, but still, that's where the sacrifice is coming in. There's a lot of things that are very enticing in the world today. And then Christians just won't, real Christians, true Christians, simply won't do it. And it literally leads to sacrifice sometimes. Like I remember when I was looking for a job and I had just found out about the Sabbath and, you know, a wife, eight children and a teenager living with us, and no one would hire me because I refused to work on Sabbath. And, that's like a sacrifice. I was offered many jobs and, but they said, well, no, you got to work Saturdays. I said, well, then I can't take the job. So that's a sacrifice right there. And there's always all these different ways that we could sacrifice for Christ. I love jumping at the chance. Like with the Facebook thing. If I had a Facebook page, which I don't, but there are people that have put remnantguy.org on Facebook. I just found out about that. One of my daughters told me that the other day, and I didn't know that. Well, I knew that, but I didn't know it was that bad where everybody knows about it. But I don't have a Facebook page. But if I did, and then I found out what they're doing now, where they're making it, just like Stephen Jobs did, where he pulled the pro-life but left the pro-homosexual thing on there. That turned off a lot of Christians, where now they swore off using any kind of Apple products. Well, the same thing with Facebook. A lot of Christians have dumped it now because of what they're doing, because they made a stand. And anyway, going on with this passage here from Psalm 50, verses 3 to 5, in regards to, you know, he shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people and gather my saints and those that, you know, unto me that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. In other words, it won't be in the secret chambers or by the false doctrine of a secret rapture. When Jesus appears, all creation will be active. And rightly so. As even the rocks he fashioned with his own hands will respond to his appearing, just as all of nature. Remember when he said even the rocks would cry out? If the people didn't say Hosanna in the highest that one day, the mountains are going to be shaking like reeds in the wind. The ocean will be boiling. Earthquakes will be occurring everywhere simultaneously. And that's the thing we were talking about last night, too, that liquefaction that you see happening in Japan right now, because a large portion of Japan is man-made, and so it's floating on water, and it kind of like waves. We were going over that last night and how the whole planet will be like that. That's going to be an amazing sight to see. If you're a Christian, it'll be great. It'll be a great and dreadful day. And that day's coming very soon. But, you know, all the signs are there. All the prophecies that Jesus said were supposed to happen for the last 6,000 years have happened. There's just a few left to happen. And that's why I did the video that we're doing right now about the weakest Christians of all is, no, I don't want to get into that now because I'll go over time. But the fact of the matter is, with all these overwhelming evidences that our God is coming back, there are still people that don't believe it, and I think, and they call themselves Christians. They don't believe that it's going to happen soon. I mean, and I'm not setting dates. I don't know if it's going to happen in our lifetime or our kids' lifetime, but it looks to be very, because Jesus said you can know the season, and we are definitely in the season, and we know when the end times began because the 2,300-year prophecy ended in 1844, just like Daniel predicted. So we know we are in the last days now. So anyway, like I said, earthquakes are going to be occurring everywhere on the planet at the same time. Every volcano is going to be erupting. This includes the super volcanoes. I don't know if you've heard about those. Lightning will be constant. Tornadoes and hurricanes will no doubt be happening as well, because with all this stuff, it's bound to happen. And then, of course, you're going to have the hail of at least 125 pounds going to be falling on everyone and everything. Yet, the Lord's bride will have no fear. You know, King David said thousands of years ago in Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We were sharing this last night. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth is removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. That, you know, he's talking about the end, the last day. And Isaiah 25:9 says, and it shall be in that day that, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. But sadly, with the wicked, they're not going to be able to say the exact same words, of course. They're going to cry out, you know, hide us from the face of the Lamb, and he who sits on the throne. You know, they're going to want the rocks to cover them. And rightly so. The sad thing is, though, you know, they've had so many opportunities, and they ignored them. So anyway, let's end it here. Let me mark this so we can pick it up again next week. I need to. I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.